This is Christian Watson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier. Just a ton to get to today because the cheat sheet testing is going hard right now over at rosterwatch.com. Cody has gotten the standard and half point PPR cheat sheet now up to version 1.0. I've taken version 1.2 of the PPR cheat sheet and changed it to version 2.0. So that update went in on Tuesday. Been testing it a bunch. I want to talk about some of our exposures and the way that things are looking against thousands of simulations so far for season-long managed leagues. We are officially in draft season. We're so pumped to be here and so pumped to have you guys with us. Another thing I've been working on is a tool for use with the cheat sheets that I'm hoping that we can get out to our users this year that have wanted something a little bit more robust to help them in their auctions. And they want to use the cheat sheet in auctions. And I think we're going to be able to get it out, man. But it's an awesome auction assistant that uses the cheat sheet, the most updated version of the cheat sheet. And it tells you what to do with each nomination. It reads like, what your opponents have spent, what their needs are, what they think, what the machine thinks that they'll be doing, who you should nominate, who you should use to drain, drain salary cap money, who you should use to, the specific points in the draft when you should be nominating targets to the cheat sheet would like, stuff like that. And through that, I've got a couple of ideas, Cody. Like, after you sit there and test this thing manually, because obviously this is a manual thing where we can't run all the sims, you have to see how it's actually functioning and the way that its brain is thinking at certain points in the auction. I've noticed a few things, and I think my biggest takeaway is this. One of them is going to have to do with, we're going to talk about the Green Bay wide receivers here in a second, but another one is kind of more just structural, and that is this. Whenever you get to, it's like there's a group of about 13 running backs, and you could take it in any. There's the top two, right? Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, et cetera. And those guys are going to go for, in a $200 budget league, they're going to go for like $55 up to $60 each, something like that, right? Then you get down to this next tier sort of after them, and it's a big tier of about 11 guys. And these guys are like the Jonathan Taylors, the Christian McCaffreys, the James Cooks, Ashton Jeanty, Achan, Barkley, Omarion Hampton, Chase Brown, Kenneth Walker, Derrick Henry, Jeremiah Love, right? And it shows in our cheat sheet that there's a tier break there. But I have noticed that once you start getting to the end of that tier, the logic that I've worked into the tool is that it's like you shouldn't be picking at the very end of that tier because it gets inflated. People start paying more. They're like, man, a bunch of these guys are going off the board. I need to get my running back one, right? And what you end up doing is you end up paying more money than you would for other guys that are higher up the sheet just because the scarcity now exists, right? And so like buying in at the middle of those tiers, it seems like it makes a lot of sense to me. But the more important thing is when this thing falls off a cliff, because then you have another tier where, people have Josh Jacobs in this tier, but it definitely includes Javonte Williams. It includes Breece Hall. It includes Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams, these types of players, right? And when you get to those guys, you're basically paying as much as you were at the kind of the middle end part of that tier above, simply because people really, really start to worry then. But the time when the time when the worry just really creeps up and you end up paying just as much as those guys is whenever you get to the Quinshon Judkins, David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, if you have Bucky Irving in this group. People don't pay up as much for Bucky because they worry about him. And Travion Henderson, right? If you're paying $25 for Javonte Williams, you're going to be paying $25 for David Montgomery, even if you have him a lot farther down your board. And so I got to thinking, I'm like, that tells me a lot about behavior and about the way people kind of think about these things in the actual drafts, not in the simulations, in the actual drafts, when you're in your home league, all of that stuff. And that was something that I took into account with these latest adjustments on the PPR cheat sheet to really say, it's like, man, you know, by the time you get down to Quinshon Judkins, David Montgomery and stuff, you got to have two of those guys. You got to have two. Is that how the testing is looking for you?
Yeah, I think so. I did some testing yesterday. I did a show and I was just like looking through the running backs, and I had actually an interesting start where I started one draft and I can't tell you exactly how it was perfectly, but I started out with three running backs. I want to say it was Love and Judkins, and I can't remember if it was Bijan or what, but it was pretty sick. Three running back start. And then I had like the following draft picking from, I want to say like the sixth spot. I just happened to fall through one running back with a four wide receiver start, and I felt miserable about it.
It feels good. It feels bad. Yeah.
I felt miserable about it because where I got back into the running back conversation, I was like, well, Monon guy's nice, but not as my running back too.
No.
And like, that's a severe drop. Cause when you get through, if you miss out, like you're saying, if you miss out like into that round 3-4 area, it really kind of falls off. And I like Jadarian Price. I like DeAndre Swift. Don't love him. Don't want him as my running back too. So yeah, I totally am in line with you of like wanting to get two or maybe three of these.
You can even get three. Like you can even get three by round 5.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I know, but because here's the thing. It's like, if you get them, there's this group of wide receivers, right? That if you like guys that I'm really fond of and that I like taking that fit into my build and stuff like that, to where it's, you know, to where it's like, it's not in this sort of little sub tier that's here at the beginning of the third round, but maybe this tier that's more towards, you know, third roundish, but maybe more kind of fourth round with kind of into the third round, like the Devontae Smiths of the world. Chris Olave sometimes falls to the end of the third. And then in the fourth round, you can get Teteroa McMillan. Omeka Egbuka is somebody that we get a whole lot of exposure to. This is about where Ladd McConkey normally goes. Not that I'm completely in love with, you know, Ladd McConkey, but, you know, Luther Burden goes more like into the fourth. You got Jaden Waddle going in the fourth. It's like you can pick up a couple of pretty good wide receivers there in the second and the second and the third. And then in the third and the fourth, if you do happen to go with a running back heavy start, right? Say you start out with Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Or Jeanty Barkley or something. If you come back and you can go, you know, Devontae Smith, Omeka Egbuka, and then in the fifth round, you could pick up your Quinshon Judkins, right? It's like, that feels like a good start to me. It also feels like a good start to, if let's say you start out with, let's say a pick four and Puka Nacua is available, right? You can then go like pick four, Puka Nacua. You get back around, what would that be? Pick 19 or something like that. What would that be? Pick 20? I don't know. Just whatever. Into the second, pick up an A.J. Brown, and Nico Collins, something like that. And then you can oftentimes come around and get, like, you know, Derrick Henry right there, and then come back around, and then you get Travis Etienne, right? Something like that. You could get Derrick No. So it would be Puka Nacua, and then you could even go like A.J. Brown, then right back around to a Derrick Henry. And then you could pop back in on the next turn to a Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. And maybe at that point, that would be a little bit of a reach for Judkins. I think the move there, if you go the super early wide receiver to make sure you don't get marooned at running back, is to go like, see if you can get like Puka and then like a Ken Walker, right?
This is exactly what I just did right now. I just took Chase. I got Chase at the 104, and then I came back in the second round. I got Ken Walker, third round, Derrick Henry, fourth round, Omeka Egbuka. So that's a 2x2.
That's the way to do it.
Round five, it gives me the option of a Judkins Burden. So I'm 2x2 with an option to go either direction.
All right. So basically all this, this has been a long winding way of saying, like, the logic that I've been trying to teach the auction tool to understand about the market dynamics of the room, right? I think that since you and I just talk about this so much, we test it so much, I think that you just kind of innately understand what I'm trying to explain. That's that kind of structure right there. That's the structure. That's the nuts. Now the big question is, Cody, as you know, we're on it now. We got it now. We're running the sims, and each one gets an A+, right? The projection's always like ours, 250 points better than our nearest competitors. But as you know, the ADPs get, it's so funny is that things get normalized. Like as the people, as just like more of the normies and the ones that aren't necessarily listening to the show right now, it's so weird that as they get in, the ADPs get sharper. Isn't that counterintuitive?
They get sharper, or they get, you know, a little more.
Maybe they all just go buy their draft sheets from smart people, and you know what I mean? And they just go with it. Yeah. Just a higher volume of people just kind of using premium content, I guess.
Wisdom of the crowd, right?
Yeah. Just one other thing too, from just, you mentioned the Green Bay Packers wide receivers before the show. And I do want to talk about that. A couple other things with, you know, Tucker Kraft and some of this Green Bay stuff. But I just wanted to ask you a couple things about exposures. One that I noticed is that one guy who on the standard and half point PPR sheet, then when you showed me your exposure report, that it looked like you're a little bit high on, that I don't get. I don't get it because, and I mean that in a way, like I don't get him, you know, in my simulations. I also just kind of don't get it. And so I'm just interested to hear your thoughts, but it's about Zach Charbonnet. It looked like you're getting some Zach Charbonnet. And I even had to look up. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Where's Charbonnet even going? Right?
He's free.
And I looked, I'm like, well, in the blended ADP, it's like this guy's going in the, is that the 13th round? Where, 130? Talking about, no, the 11th round, the 11, 12 turn. Is that right?
Yeah, he's free.
The 11, 12 turn. What is the, I mean, I guess I'm kind of making a case in my head for it right now, but what is the case that you had in your head?
Well, the case in my head is the fact that he's free, and I build a team with Ken Walker and Derrick Henry and Judkins, and oh, I got Jaylen Warren as my running back 4, and then I get down here to the 12th round, and at the 1208, Zach Charbonnet's looking at you. You're like, 1208? Well, I understand that this guy's coming off a pretty serious knee injury. But I also understand that if you keep up with the Seattle news, they've said that they will not give you, they did not draft Jadarian Price to be a bell cow back. They went out and signed Emmanuel Wilson, right? They have George Helani. Ooh, big and scary, right? You're big and scared of Emmanuel Wilson, and I'm big and scared of George Helani. But that they've said that they feel like, you know, Zach Charbonnet's caught a break in his recovery. They feel like Zach Charbonnet is going to make a full recovery quicker than anybody expected. Everything's possible. Everything's on the table. They said 3 weeks ago, week one is on the table. I'm like, week one's on the table? And listen, I don't think he's going to play week one, but week one's on the table? That means that my anticipation of him being like a week 10 to 12 guy getting on the football field and being a zero for the whole season has to be pulled back a little bit, and saying that, okay, if he's going to be on the football field week one, he's going to be a zero. That means by week 8, week 7, week 8, I can use that. I can play with that. Zach Charbonnet can be a league winner type if he's gotten 6 weeks to ramp up, or he started the season on the pup and he's slowly ramped up. And by week 6, week 8, you know, attrition happens. One of my running backs goes down and Charbonnet all of a sudden is back into averaging 12 to 14 to 15 fantasy points per game. In round 12, man, I mean, you can go wrong in round 12. I mean, round 12, let's see. Isaiah Pacheco is available.
You Keaton can go Mitchell's wrong.
Available. Jonah Coleman, really?
And cross positionally, you're talking about guys that I have zero interest in, like Woody Marks this year. You know, he's a guy we liked last year. I mean, it's like you're talking about Tyler Allgeier and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so it's like, Cross positionally,
it's no good either. It's your boy like Stephon Diggs. It's these dusty quarterbacks like Jared Goff and Kyler.
Yeah.
I mean,
so that's kind of my train of thought there, is that you look everything else. It's like, he's a guy that if they're not going to push him up to be in like a round 10 guy, round nine, I'm like, I'm out. But like, if he's going to sit here in the 12th round, I'm just going to sit here and just rip it. Just rip the dart. Bang, bang, bang. And I'm going to take him. And he's going to sit there. And if, you know what, if August 30th, September 5th rolls around, and they're like, he's still 2 months away, then I might cut him. Then I might not draft him. But at the current stage of everything we've heard the last 4 weeks, from Mike McDonald to the local beat in the 12th man reporting for fans, all these different places are reporting stuff positively for Zach Charbonnet and how the recovery is going a lot better. He caught a big break in the recovery. Week one's not out of the – like, that's positive stuff, and nobody's wanting to push Zach Charbonnet up. I'm going to be the one that's just going to sit here and rip the dart.
Well, look, I know that we can't – you know, we can't really read too much into the split without Ken Walker there, right? Because it's obvious. You draft a first-round running back in Jadarian Price. And really, I mean, you say first-round running back, but he's one pick away from being a second-round running. He's one pick away from being a day-two running back. But he is first-round. Like, you can't really say it's like, all right, well, Kenneth Walker is totally gone, right? But it's not like there's just this giant void that's been left in his place where it's just like, do you know what I mean? To where it's like, I can't believe I'm blanking on name. The guy, the Green Bay brought Emmanuel Wilson. It's like, it isn't just like that. Right. There is Jadarian Price there. It's not a Kenneth Walker sized hole in the volume that's opened up. But the question is, Jadarian Price, whenever he kind of tries to step into the hole, does he take up the whole hole? Like, I kind of don't think so. And so whenever you take it with a grain of salt, but like, I can't believe this, but Zach Charbonnet, he scores 10, basically 10 more fantasy points per game in PPR whenever Kenneth Walker doesn't play.
Yep.
It's 17.74 fantasy points per game without him, and 8.11 with him. And one of the interesting things that you note is that, so it's not quite 10, it's a 9.63 point jump. But what you notice is, you know, the workload obviously goes up. The snap share jumps from 44% to 79.9%. The rushing attempts double. But it's the bump in the passing game where he goes from basically, he gets double the receptions. It goes from 1.5 receptions on average to 3 on average. Jadarian Price is not a player who comes in with really any pedigree as far as being a receiver out of the backfield. He's not somebody that had a ton of experience with it in college. He's not somebody you can come in and you just can say reliably he's going to pick up pass protection, all the rest. So if Charbonnet does come in, especially in PPR, you got to figure that his receiving usage is going to be, you know, I think that will be the Kenneth Walker size hole, to where even if the receiving usage picks up, you're still getting a guy who is a reasonable fantasy asset, even if Jadarian Price is as good as Ken Walker, which I'm not sure he's going to be. You get a player who's been reasonable for fantasy, in a committee, but with what we could project as elevated receiving usage.
Bingo.
And that's worst case if he's healthy.
And that's what we're going under right now. The impression that he is, and also the impression that the report of them saying we didn't draft Jadarian Price to be the bell cow. So that already tells me that there's going to be some kind of split between him and Helani, or him and Wilson, or the three of them when the season begins. Anyway, it doesn't sound like they're going to go out there and give him some kind of Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, not that those guys had clear runways when they got there. I guess that kind of mutes the point, but I don't know. You get what I'm saying. Like, they're just not going to go out there and be like, yo, Jadarian, first round pick, 90%.
It won't be Ashton Jeanty.
There you go. Jeanty. How could I forget?
All right. What about, so that's that's how that split looks. I think it's kind of sharp. I might, in version 2.1, I think I'm going to get Charbonnet up a little bit. I think I have him a little bit buried. So that's a good discussion. All right. So we talk about that running back split. Let's talk about this wide receiver split and the tight end stuff with the Packers that we didn't get to on the SiriusXM show.
So I kind of the report came from The Athletic's Matt Schneidman with Tucker Kraft's knee, said he could start training camp on the PUP, but reports that he should be a full go by week one. Kraft has said that he plans to play week one with no pitch count after a torn ACL he suffered week nine. Remember back, and I think it was like March or April, I think it might have been the draft, he was at a concert, punted a beer can, full beer can with that restructured knee. So I don't think he'd be doing that if it was still hurting. Goes on the PUP to start camp. Wouldn't be abnormal. Wouldn't be a cause for concern, Schneidman says. But he says to stay tuned. My thing here is the idea that his ADP right now is like the sixth round. Tucker Kraft's is, and it's is right it? There.
I don't ever get Tucker Kraft. I'm like in that area. I'm always so hyper focused on just making sure I get Tyler Warren. I can't believe.
Yeah. So Warren, like in this draft particularly, like Loveland goes 407. Warren goes Loveland goes 407. Warren goes 412. Kraft is like gonna go any pick here. I'm not gonna get him, but he's gonna go any pick here. So if I pick my guy, let's see where does Kraft end up going in this one? 512. Laporta 608. You know, you still got Pitts available. You still got Fannin available.
What ADP sources are you using for that simulation?
Let's see here. I have FFPC in, Draft Sharks in, Fantasy Pros in, Yahoo in.
And that Draft Sharks one is Sleeper.
Yes. Standard, yeah. So that's kind of where that puts him at. And it's just – it's ripe for me. It's a little bit behind Christian Watson. And I love – Tucker Kraft last year. Tucker Kraft, you know, broke out, had his 12 fantasy points, 12 PPR points in four games last year. He only played in eight, so half of his games were big. You remember him because they were in prime time. Six games in 2024, he went over 12 fantasy points per game in PPR. He played 17 games, so his breakout really came last year. So you kind of have that in the back of your mind, which I think is what's pushing this, is that opportunity and what he looked like for that small span. Luke Musgrave also got banged up again this spring, I believe. So he's not going to really be in the rotation there. And
can I just say one thing real quick that we need to – people are going to say, how can you have FFPC data for this? Because your ADPs are going to be all screwed up because it's tight end premium. But that's not the way that it works. Like we normalize FFPC to where it takes the average of all the other ADP sources and – it puts the tight ends where the tight ends would go in a non-tight end premium as far as the FFPC ADP that goes into the blended ADP. So just because we're having this conversation about tight ends, you shouldn't get in your head that they're like, oh, well, they're being idiots because they're blending in FFPC data. Of course, the tight ends are going to go early. That's already been accounted for with the normalization protocol.
And so, like, I look at this room, and I say room in, like, receiving – core is Tucker Kraft, Christian Watson, who just got the big payday. He had 18 or more fantasy points in four games out of the 11 he played last year, coming off of the ACL that caused him to miss six games last year. Jaden Reed never scored more than 18 fantasy points in a game last year in the eight games he played. He also suffered from a broken collarbone, a Jones fracture in August, and a dislocated shoulder in the wild card round that season before. And then you have Matthew Golden, who has one game in his career with 18 or more fantasy points per game. Now, the ADPs are not all the same. Watson's going around the fifth round. Kraft is creeping into the fifth round, early sixth. And then you have Reed and Golden, who are, you know, Reed's a late ninth, Golden's a late tenth. I guess my thought process and my question here for you is, I like Kraft. I can't draft him. I don't like Watson. The injury history scares the bejesus out of me with the ACL, with a chest here, a knee here, ankle, knee, ankle, knee, ankle, knee, hamstring. Every year it's something with Watson. If he ever clicks and has the one season that's a clean slate, like, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, being a top 12 wide receiver is not out of the question in the sport.
He could be top five if he had a full season of full Christian Watson.
Yeah, totally can happen. Which I think is baked into why he's creeping up into the fifth round. But when you get in that fifth round, like you said, you're talking about. I mean, there's just so many guys I'd rather click that button for.
There's so many combinations of players to where it's like if you're going to a Christian Watson like wide receiver there, I don't think what you've done with your first four picks is, you know what I mean? I'm not sure that it's been the best allocation of those four resources so far.
Yeah, it's like he goes like the 502 in this draft I'm doing right now.
502.
Judkins goes 504. I mean,
it's okay. So I'm like the ADPs that I've been working on with him have Christian Watson as like who goes around him? Because for me, it's like
I was going to read that off. It's Judkins, it's Davante Adams, McLaurin, Burden, Montgomery. Those are like the next six picks.
Weird, because dude, it's like. And with the ADPs that I'm using, which is I got like, you know, I have NFFC. There's also some like Underdog in here and stuff like that. Drafters, Fantrax, ESPN, Yahoo, the Fantasy Pros Mock Draft Simulator. I have the PFF rankings put into this thing that people might be using. Sleeper, FFPC. I have FFPC weighted for 3X right now, just because I think it's what most people are using this for, but. It has Christian Watson more in like the Carnell Tate, Roma Dunze area with a pretty good, you know, a pretty good little break between like the, certainly the Luther Burdens and stuff. Like they have Luther Burden clear of them by a full round as far as Christian Watson.
Yeah.
So I'd be even like, and I'm not even comfortable taking him kind of there at the 5-6 turn. I can certainly see why you'd be very, very, what is it, reticent? What does reticent mean? Very, very
hesitant.
Hesitant. Maybe that's what I was looking for. Very, very hesitant to click that around the 4 or 5. That's so doesn't make any sense to me.
That's where I sit. I don't really want either of these guys. And I just wonder in Green Bay, like, It should we be on anybody in Green Bay? Like, I think the Golden stuff is interesting. Golden's been pretty healthy. He's the cheapest of the options. You know, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago on the SiriusXM show on Sunday. Reminder to our audience out there that we are moving back to 5 p.m. Eastern time, moving back a couple of hours, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. But
is that Matt start this
Golden?
Week?
What?
So does that start this week?
It starts this Sunday. So, okay. And what I was mentioning was we talked about Jacksonville, and Jacoby Myers was the cheapest in that room.
Yeah.
The cheapest in this room is Matthew Golden. Matthew Golden has only had – he missed one game with a wrist injury last year, one game with a shoulder injury. The previous year before that in college, nothing. Previous year before that, nothing. He had ankle injuries but never missed a game for it. And the rest of these guys, you know – have missed extended time with big injuries. Watson, the ACL, obviously, tons of hamstring injuries that have caused him to miss 5 and 4 and 3 games. Kraft, the ACL, and Jaden Reed had the broken collarbone last year, as well as a Jones fracture in the preseason. You go back a couple of years, toes, ankles, chest, knees, everything. And Golden, he played almost a full season last year. I just, like, Golden's the one I might lean into. In round 10 and round 11, but that's like your wide receiver 4 or 5. Do you feel good about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't feel good about it. I look at my exposures and it's like I'm getting like 25% Matthew Golden right now. I think that, dude, you're talking about a guy. You're talking about it feels like you get Matthew Golden in the 11th round, like the first round wide receiver that this organization's taken since the turn of the century. A guy with legit talent coming out, a guy that we knew, you know, even coming from the University of Houston to the University of Texas, just like we knew that he was coming out of a Dana Holgorsen air raid system. It was the most cockamamie thing you'd ever seen before. It took him a while to get up to speed at Texas. Whenever he got into his biggest moments at Texas towards the end, that's when he became a first round pick. He's a guy that when he was coming out, he said, look, it's not just the speed. It's not just all this stuff. Like, look at some of the sideline catches. Look at the body awareness. You had some moments there down the stretch of the CFP playoff run where he was making catches like Odell Beckham style. You know, this is a guy with a whole lot of talent, a whole lot of potential. He's going to be out there in two wide receiver sets. I'm nearly positive of it. It's not going to be Jaden Reed and Christian Watson. They're going to protect Jaden Reed, dude. It's Bird, dude. They're going to play him in the slot and they're going to want to, they don't want him playing with a Jones fracture and a busted shoulder and all the rest of that stuff. You know, get Golden out there, get Christian Watson out there. And you also have the contingent value with Matthew Golden. It's like, you know, maybe if Christian Watson does get a little bit banged up, he could end up being the number one option there. And as we've discussed over and over and over again, we're not talking about your grandpa's NFC North black and blue division, right? This is a league where they can get into some shootouts, and a guy like Matthew Golden in the 11th round could be a big beneficiary of that.